Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Jim. Glad to be back.
Mark, do you have a special offer to kick off the new year for our listeners?
Yeah, let's still use the one for 2022, half off of any of our subscriptions. You go to VRTrader.com and you put in 2022 half off, and you get 50% off of any of our newsletters, and there's like six of them, so you got a lot to choose from. I also want to make a disclaimer that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice.
Just education.
We try, yeah. Because we're not managing money, and we're just putting out our opinions.
Mm-hmm. Mark, what was the best performances of the year for your investments?
Well, I would say one of the bigger best performances, and maybe the best, is a move in First Solar, the solar stock, which literally went from $60 to $140, and it sort of ignored the rest of the market. So, you know, solar sort of stood out, and I was surprised by the intensity of the move. So that would be, you know, that would really come in at the top of the list. You know, there's, other areas like the agricultural area, for example, did okay, and it's actually still showing some strength here. But, on an individual stock sector basis, I guess those two stand out, agricultural and solar. And, of course, we can't ignore energy. You know, until the last few weeks, it did well for a good part of the year. I'm still overall positive on it, but we are in a correction. So that's a, sort of what comes to the top of my mind. And not to mention, of course, our overall forecast for the year, which was put out in January. We could talk about what's coming up with the January barometer and so forth in a moment, but that indicated it would be a down year for the market. And we did a pretty good job in timing that as well, because we had, we also do a lot of work on the cyclical picture. And, we look at things like the autumnal equinox, the vernal equinox and solstice and stuff like that to pinpoint change points in the marketplace. So we had the vernal equinox in March, and that turned out to be a market low, and we timed that pretty well. And we had the autumnal equinox in September, right near a trading low, and we just passed and intersected the winter solstice, which sort of deviated from that pattern, because actually the market had rallied into December relative to where it had been. So that was sort of interesting. So, putting those pieces together within the context of a down market, I think, was, pretty exciting. So let's see if 2023 can, bless us the same way.
What were the biggest disappointments this year?
Oh, gee, my God, there's so many disappointments. Not so much in the market, the political world, the way our government is running the borders, letting everybody in, breaking all our laws, our immigration laws, lack of concern for our safety and so forth, the ban on energy exploration and development here in North America, tremendous disappointments, and it's the people in charge, which, are really, fortunately, not thoughtful and, anti-patriotic in my own opinion, but, those are still big disappointments for me to see how people who are supposedly have intellect would make these type of decisions and work against the common man. But, you know, the stock market didn't like it either because it's still a down year. And I think if perhaps those positions were changed, the market may have gone in the opposite direction. And, you know, the focus on the Federal Reserve, I guess I can throw in as well as a disappointment, because we've talked many times, and I've written about it, about how I feel the Federal Reserve is out of tune with reality, and in reality it should be abolished or modified in some significant way. Other economists and political leaders are beginning to agree with it, with that thinking, that it's worn its welcome in terms of its involvement in our economy. But we also can't only blame them. You know, our U.S. Congress is insane, constantly spending money, which works at opposite objectives to the Federal Reserve. So it's just, you know, just a disappointment in government. I guess it's sort of a summary of what I just stated in terms of the way they're handling that. And we can also throw in their handling of the Ukrainian war in terms of their involvement by funding NATO and funding the war, in effect of bringing us closer to a really big war instead of trying to seek a peace, which is doable, but nobody wants to talk about it. So, you know, just, you know, dumb people doing dumb things for their own selfish interests, political interests, are big disappointments to me. So, and I guess, you know, if the market thought that I was wrong, I think the stock market and most markets would have been a lot stronger this year. So between the Fed, congressional spending, poor management of a war, you know, ignoring our basic laws of immigration and so forth, I think the market has responded. So maybe there'll be some political change ahead with the new Congress coming in. But, you know, so much is, you know, we're marionettes and the strings are pulling us in different directions here. And unfortunately, they're not in the right direction at the moment. So 2023 may not be a positive year unless we see some change.
What's your outlook for the U.S. dollar?
You know, the U.S. dollar, you know, I'm not tying it to the market. You know, the charts still show it in a downtrend. And, you know, my gut feeling is, you know, with political uncertainty and so forth, you know, money could flow back into the U.S. dollar, and it could resume, and, you know, the uptrend which it had until a few weeks ago. But, you know, the charts still say we're in a downtrend, and that sort of surprises me, but we don't fight the charts. So, you know, my intuition says it should resume an uptrend, particularly if things get more nasty in Europe. But for now, you know, let's watch it. Of course, the commodity markets are doing their own thing. You know, as the dollar is weak, that would supposedly help futures and commodities. It's helped the agricultural sector, which I mentioned a moment ago, which did okay, and gold and silver have rebounded a little bit, but still nowhere near their big breakout levels, which I still think are coming because of all this political and financial instability and uncertainty and mismanagement. But for the most part, my prejudice is for a strong dollar, but the charts have to confirm. So if it remains weak and breaks even more, that should help the commodity markets, and that'll make the gold bulls and silver bulls very happy.
What do you think is going to happen with crude?
We've had a correction in it. I'm overall a big bull on the energy markets. We still have the restrictive environment in terms of production. We all know that. There's world demand. And if things get more nasty in Europe, I can't help but believe we're going to see more shortages and more demand. And unless OPEC comes in and does something dramatic, you know, to offset that, I think for the time being, you've got to be more bullish than bearish and understand that we've just had a correction in the market that went way up. So I'm long crude oil and some oil-related stocks.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, cryptocurrencies really took it on the chin this year. Do they have a brighter future in the new year?
Well, in the newsletter, we talk about, Bitcoin, the fact that it's dropped as much as it has, and, it runs these multi-year cyclical patterns, which are, very volatile. It hasn't confirmed the bottom yet, but it looks awfully attractive down here. And, we're looking at, like, an ETF, for example, not the actual Bitcoin itself as a play. But I also caution, it runs in 2 or 3 year cycles, and, you could be, disappointed in looking for any immediate, move up. It might be a year or two out or more, but, we have it on the list, and particularly, the Bitcoin Trust, which is trading around under $8 a share, which was as high as $58 a share. Being a stock market contrarian as well as a trader, you can't help but, look at stocks that are way down and a lot of negative news surrounding it. Good news at the top, bad news at the bottom. So, part of my volume analysis is also cyclical analysis and contrary opinion and trying to put it all together. So I don't think Bitcoin's going to zero. And if I take, more than a one-year time frame, I think, holding a little bit is not such a bad decision. But how others are going to respond, XRP, there's a lawsuit pending with the Securities and Exchange Commission. That's a big favorite. Ethereum is a favorite among a lot of people. Dogecoin, I jokingly refer to that as doggy coin, that Elon Musk has an interest in. Had a nice trade, a few weeks ago when he came out and indicated that he still had interest in it, and it tripled in 2 days, and now it's pulled back. So, there are trading opportunities in these markets. They're not going to zero. I know the FTX thing is really a disappointment to a lot of people, but it's more interesting. I think there was a New York Times story that came out, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, where they were sort of sympathetic to the FTX collapse and, made some ridiculous statements like, well, it's not like, I'm probably misquoting the article, but it's not like being robbed or murdered on the street because you lost money in FTX. In other words, they're trying to defend, the big promoter for that, and maybe that's because of the political contributions he made to the Democratic Party, which I think is part and parcel to the whole thing. So that whether people are going to get their money back, that's a whole other story. This is not like the Ponzi schemes of Madoff and others, where there was some money there that could be ultimately returned to investors unless they can recover that money or wherever it is. I guess the Democrats would have to give back all the money that he had contributed to their campaigns. That'd probably be the first step. Then maybe some investors would get their money back. So that's a whole other discussion. But what I'm saying is the powers that be, the liberal press, is sort of downplaying the disaster in FTX, which obviously only makes sense because of the political aspect of it. But, people who lost money in it are probably going to stay away from crypto for a while. And, Kevin O'Leary, who is a big Shark Tank player, is also Canadian, as you know. He got hurt in the FTX situation, so it shows you a lot of smart money, got sucked into this situation. So it's, there's been a lot of many disasters financially over the years, whether they're Ponzi schemers or whether it's the, collapse of currencies or hedge funds. The big notable one was the big hedge fund collapse in the late 90s and Alan Greenspan getting involved and bailing it out. Long-Term Capital, I believe, was the name of it. I hope my date's correct. So, some bailouts, who knows? They could end up bailing out people of FTX because of the political connection. So obviously if that happened, then, people will love crypto again. But they're still tradable. They're still out there. And at the moment, I don't think the government's going to shut it down the way people are fearful of. I think they're there for a reason, Jim. They're trying to avoid government supervision, involvement, and secrecy and privacy as best as one could obtain in this, politically governed world where everyone wants to, not everyone, but the government wants to control everyone and monitor everyone. So it's interesting how it's going to unfold. I don't think the market is dead. I mean, how many markets have collapsed but have come back over the years? You know what I mean? So, I'm still optimistic.
Anything on the geocosmic front for the new year we should be keeping an eye on?
Well, you know, we're going to go way out on this one because I figured you're going to ask me about this. But I think there's a real chance of an extraterrestrial UFO event this year. And I just have a gut feeling something is coming. And it's funny because I wrote about this. And then I just saw an ad on TV on Fox News where Tucker Carlson, who is the big one of the big commentators on Fox News, came out with the same comment that there's something coming in 2023 on the extraterrestrial front. Now, you know, where I come with that is just intuition and the fact that the government has been releasing information. And, you know, I turn on TV. I'm sure it's the same way in Canada. I mean, the Travel Channel, the History Channel, I mean, just on and on with UFO stories, even Bigfoot stories, but all kinds of stuff. And it seems like we're being prepared. But the question is, will it be a real event? Or will the secret space program, which very much exists, in my opinion, stages some type of false flag event to either scare people or to settle the matter in some way, to keep their secrecy? So don't be surprised in 2023 if there's some mass sightings or something wild happens and it makes big news, and whether it's really extraterrestrials or our own secret space program, which uses much of that technology, staging something. So this is, and again, when I see a national columnist like Tucker Carlson come out with a similar statement, he may know something, and no one's really talking about it. So, you know, they scared us with COVID and with the vaccines and with the masks, and you know, there are some food shortages around. You can't get eggs in some of the stores now. I don't know if you've noticed in Canada, but down here you go into Costco and there's no eggs on the shelf and some food shortages, just crazy things happening. And you know, there's always the risk of the geocosmic with the volcanic activity and other things affecting the planet, since we have 47 volcanoes that are now erupting. But this, you know, I had to pick one interesting thing that might happen in this coming year. That might be it, some type of UFO extraterrestrial event. So let's see what happens.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us, and have a great New Year's Eve.
And Happy New Year to you. We'll look forward to the early indicators that come in January for some sense of what 2023 may bring us.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.